situations, if a Jew wanted to be poyek oily, he wanted to do a virus, and he wanted to get out of the mitzvahs, he first had to leave Yiddishkeit. Like the Gemara says, that Kali Shulah was only matter for themselves, the Bodhi Mora, because they wanted to get involved in their life. No Jew would dream of getting involved in their life, unless he came up with some philosophical sort of new religion to allow that to happen. In today's generation, we see not like that. We see that the ability to stay in the Soinus is much weaker, and that we're able to be poyek oily all the way to all the world without having to change any sort of, without having to leave the Machane Torah. You don't have to become a Meshuvan and go join the Christian church or whatever one's done in order to be to drive on Shabbos. Today you can drive on Shabbos and still be Shuvan. It's mostly read off. And that's an extreme example. But there are much more subtle ones which I won't go into today. We discussed them yesterday. So when Kuf Tes Zayin, Riyigba Liba Vedach Hashem, Achisun Itnei Achet. What is the Chisun? The Chisun is the vaccination, the injection against Chet today. Because we see that since the Yetzer Hara is playing so differently, we have to find a different matzav. Hayom Alevatze Matzav, Shibun Yudhi Amanu Vetzias Hashem, a very fascinating insight into where the Tavos brought up and how he had to discover his own ways here. Amazing, amazing stuff here. Hayom Alevatze Matzav, Shibun Yudhi Amanu Vetzias Hashem. You can have a situation today where a person believes in the Tzias Hashem. Yeah, he went on the discovery seminar and he's 100% convinced there's Hashem. Ma'amid b'schav o'aymesh, and he also believes that there's going to be reward and punishment. He understands that Hashem is something different, and therefore there has to be reward and punishment because an indifferent God is much worse than no God. Ma'amid b'kodim v'chazal gomor v'peirik or v'chayte. Okay, so he believes in Chazal. He sits and learns Gemara, knows that Torah is true, and he believes peirik or v'chayte. Pukhazi, my imadova. Pukhazi, come and see. Tzav Hashem is oishim yudim, my yesh es hezbe b'fichim. Go ask those Jews if you can explain it. Hey, my Yetzirah got the better of me. There was a generation of Yetzirah got the better of me. How comes we're not withstanding the Nisayvus? Tzav Hashem ha'im ha'amin b'Hashem. You go to the guy and you'll say to him, excuse me, hey, maybe you didn't believe in God. Chash melaski, what are you talking about? You don't believe in God, what are you talking about? Yudim ma'amin b'nei ma'aminim ha'ima. Jews believe. Tomu shem ha'inim yudim she'osun e'noig b'derech bo'ahem noig. Maybe you don't know that this is osun. Zekei adove l'chet yechshav. Maybe you don't realize that this is actually a sin. Gam ze'en enochen. Boch Hashem b'reinu yoydon godu. That generation, Boch Hashem, is one of the most knowledgeable generations we ever had. I'm not talking about outside the Machane, but within the Machane Torah, Boch Hashem, the kids start learning at 3 years old, they know more than... It's frightening how much these kids know. Of course, it's scary how much they know. Am I exaggerating?
Anything more so than a kid in Lithuania?
Yeah, especially really? Around about the First World War period. I'm saying, let's say the beginning of the 19th century and on,
yeah.
There were hardly any kids in school. I mean, from the First World War on, it was a...
Yeah, but we're not talking about comparing the Gedolim with Gedolim. We're talking about comparing the average...
What, the average kids on the streets today? The average kids running around the streets today or whatever are full with knowledge. Full with knowledge. Quite frightening. Yeah, Boch Hashem, the schools, look at the education systems all over the world. That's true schools. I was in Toronto, there were kids there, but they know they had a chumash klo. One of those kids got chumash klo, asking kashas from Bracis to Shmois to Bori Mayro. Zobelman, Shittas, and whatever that have been applied in the different schools, these kids by the time they're 13, you know, it's like,
it wasn't always like that.
No, never. I'm not saying it wasn't always like that. There might have been Koopas, because of 50 hour and whatever. There weren't Koopas where, but the average, and there are many, many stories. I mean, this whole thing was that poor. There's so much ignorance, and people don't have a kesher to Torah through scholarship, through learning. We've got to give them some other kesher, because the rave, there's a few elite, Esther Batlanim and the Rav and whatever, and maybe everyone was out there to study, to survive. They didn't come just to learn. Never had this opportunity. We never had affluence like this. We never had access to the world. I mean, the Goyish world never allowed us to survive properly. Today we've got, I mean,
we don't get done.
It's for other reasons. If you do a Boch Hashem with people
today,
that's a sugya called the Risa Barriers.
But 100 years ago, I'm sure in every small town you found a 13-year-old kid ill in the new shops.
Today there's, I wouldn't say 30-year-olds at no shots, but there's 70, 50-year-olds running around at no shots. That's a sugya called the Risa Barriers. That's a different sugya. But the question is, you can't say that he didn't know that it's awesome. There were many kids that said, no, whatever, they were on the right
keep them a mamini b'mamini. They were close to Hashem. They had a much deeper relationship with the Yiddishkeit, but they didn't know that. Today, the kids know. It's
right. The key is that they know. It's not the beginning. They know.
Even worse than that. It's not. No, that's not the problem. We'll see what the problem is. What caused him to pray a koel? Who atzuv? Because he said shabu. He's broken, meduchdach, depressed, beramazua. One level of depression or other. The Rebbeinu ain't the koichel is moided mul ta'avosoi v'mul meshich tayetz harav agayro itzacharav kusus shaitav b'mochama. He just doesn't have the motivation and the strength to get up and actually battle and fight his Yetzirah. Chazor is Yehudim, B'Nekudas Avraham Avinu HaShalom. What's lacking in the Jews today is that aspect of Avraham Avinu HaShalom. Chazor lehem ha'akor b'chashivas atzmos. They're lacking a real serious grip on who they really are, how choshev they really are. Chashivas ha'amida ha'itener b'nisaydus. That important that enables them to stand against challenges. And they can't understand how very important it is to cause both of that they shouldn't serve. Come on. He's building walls and just keeping the sun going on a daily basis must be quite challenging in the current financial situation. You know how much wood you have to burn to keep the sun going. What did he mention the numbers here? We've got to check those numbers out again. It's an amazing statistic. When Rukowski spoke there, the Rosh of Osamayef, who spoke there, how many Manhattans you have to burn every second just to... God forbid, how many Manhattans you have to burn every second? Was something like, I don't know, some astronomical amount of the whole of Manhattan you have to burn every second just to keep the sun generated. So yeah, she was busy with that big stuff, so he cares whether, time I left shoe, right? Get real. The tzibah of one's heart should be elevated in the ways of Hashem. The yigbah, libay b'darchei Hashem. One should be elevated in the ways of Baruch Hashem. Who are chosel v'nedorei? This is lacking in our generation. Ilohainu ma'amatzim oisay. Rabbi metoicheinu hayu oizim oiz v'tamutzos lomayt v'gvur v'lo yisbachoit liyistot hayetzah. Had we had that, the Yigba Libba Vadach Hashem, if we were walking around feeling like $1 million, then we would have the power and the strength to be able to stand up against the seductions that the Yetzer seduces us with. And we know that ourselves. But Noch used to say, there's no mitzvah to be happy. And if you do the mitzvah, you've got to be happy. You need energy. He used to say, the goal of marriage is not to have a happy marriage. But you need to be happy in order to perform the goals of what a marriage is. We all know for ourselves that when you're happy and you're vibrant, so you can get over, you can do things that you couldn't normally do. But if you're miserable and you're down and you're whatever reason it is, it's very hard to dredge up the energy to deal with difficulties. It's very hard.
It's a prerequisite for all
things. One Rav HaKom, I think it was Rav Yaakovson, once said to me, he said, you see there's mitzvahs that aren't mitzvahs, but they're goyim have a mitzvah. Simchus one. It's not one of the Tarag mitzvahs, but it's more than just a mitzvah. It's a basic logical prerequisite of Imunah. Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Because Tachas Shalom Avadet HaShem HaKocha B'Simcha V'Tuv La'Avot. The person, the Chumash said it. Gemara's got all its reasons, but Chumash says that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because we weren't serving Hashem B'Simcha. Why is it so serious? We weren't serving Hashem B'Simcha. We were serving Him. And then we weren't serving Hashem good. We were serving Hashem Lo B'Simcha. What's so bad about that? Because this is what this whole thing is based on. If you're not serving Hashem B'Simcha, then there's something wrong with your understanding of reality. You work for the King of Kings. He's your father, okay? And he asks you to do the same and you're miserable. Your mother asks you please to take out the garbage. Yeah? Excuse my language, use a harsh word, not use this language. So as you walk out the room to take out the garbage, you punch her in the stomach. Yeah? Something wrong with that? I took out the garbage, what do you want from me? Yeah, but what are you getting so upset about? She asked me to take out the garbage, the chutzpah. She asked me, I've got to do it. I've got to do the mitzvah. But how dare she ask me? That's not, you understand, there's something wrong with come on, I want you to take out the garbage, Besimcha. You have an opportunity to help another person. You should do that happily. What's upset in it? So Hashem asks you, please put on tefillin in the morning. For your good. Okay? And you're miserable about it? There's a whole, that goes to the core of the whole relationship's krumia. The Chumash says it's the time of the Beit Hamikdash was destroyed, but today it's a real problem. I mean, I don't know. Did you Jews from the pre-Holocaust generation? Even Jews that went through the Holocaust, they are very broken and shattered. There's a certain, I don't know what it is. There's a certain, there's something there. They were alive. I don't know what the word is. You asking me personally? I think. Okay, let's read the statement. You'll see. It has a lot to do with. It has a lot to do with the fact that the walls between us and the goyim broke down, and that a lot of goyishkeit entered into our lives, and that eroded our basic relationships that we have with ourselves, with Hashem, and with our fellow human beings. That's basically what happened. You'll see. This will go later. Guy living in Poland, no. Guy living in Poland in the ghetto. The minute the walls broke down, the minute life got good for us and we were accepted in the world and we were able to mix and whatever, so then the Yerida came. Assimilation was always the cause of this. Always, that's the Jewish history. Spain, what was going on in Spain? The Jews weren't just accepted. The Jews were the Schmitz of the Schmitz. They had the government, and they were the Minister of Finance, who the Frumier, the Zababadel.
I don't know if it exists anymore, but maybe a few years ago it existed, where you go into places that are, the children haven't ever been outside of that neighborhood.
You would expect to find a higher level of functionality and whatever, as long as there are no other influences. Once again, not perfect, you'll find whatever, yeah. But you see, I mean, you don't have to look too far. A house that doesn't have a television and a house that doesn't have a television. All else being equal. They're going to run a television now, to find South Africa, to say, I don't know, or whatever. You can't begin to describe the difference in the children. I mean, there's no comparison. Anyway, kid that spends 6 hours on the internet every day, the kid who doesn't look good on the internet. Can you compare? I mean, all else people, obviously. Take a psychopath and you don't give him internet, you take a good, healthy, well-functioning kid, you put him, obviously, I mean, you've got to compare scientifically. But, I mean, my guess is, but that's possible. I think that's possible. It's hard to come up with statistics for the variables that are mapped. I don't know how you would ever statistically do this because you can't get enough pieces to stand still at the top. But you would expect, and I mean, these even studies at university and non-Jewish and studies or whatever, that you find that kids that watch less television, more television, violent television, I mean, the world has a major impact. Everybody does.
Is it the Jewish Yerida that brought down the Goyim?
I'm going to say yes, you have to say that, because in the Finnish you're sorry to say that. That the Jew lifts up the world and brings down the world, whatever we do, and the Nefesh HaChaim is based on that, and the Tanya, I mean, that's all the Goyim are based on that. It's impossible to even begin understanding any of the Sifrei Machshava without that you're sort of in place. Avada. But what's burning us is the amount of goyishkeit that enters into our lives, and we're going to speak about it specifically. It doesn't mean just goyishkeit. Because the master goy in the world has this ability to drag us down. Not because there's anything wrong with him. He's been a good goy, he's not doing anything wrong. The master's goy. We had a goy in South Africa with our doctor, his master, he's telling us 3 o'clock in the morning, he'd come and whatever, with a smile, pleasant master, where's he destroying my life? What are you talking about? And the low life drunkard who's out in the gutter, he doesn't affect my life. What kesher do I have to him? I'm not influenced by him. Are you influenced by the low life guy who's burning the terraces at Old Trafford? He's something that you get to drag after. So where's the problem here? It's interesting. If you go to your town and you go through the thinkers. You can't imagine two people who work closer together and work harder together and seminars together, and they approach this problem from completely opposite ends. So if Tabor grew up in Nazi Hungary, pretending to be a goy escaping from the goy, and the thinkers grew up in a home where it's begin to imagine what a place of Mikdash their home was. Okay, and he learned in Brisk and whatever, and had almost no exposure to going to Chlal. And he comes in across Baruch Hu via, I would say, the positive, and the Shabbat comes in via the negative. You have to find what kind of gels it works for you. A bit of both, really. We didn't think of Shem, we didn't talk about a goy, we didn't mention the word goy. We talked about a kabocho, that's all. Yeah. And if Tauba, who Shtickle repeats is ready in these sugya, it comes from a completely different sugya, completely different direction. You were here with a Tauba called the Maisa, I don't know if those of you weren't yet. He once asked a thinker, if you, it was in a seminar, they did 156 Shabbosim together, okay? They were so close to Pinkus, the Tauba woke up the morning that the Pinkus had actually been killed and said that something bad happened in Eretz Yisrael. Something to the church in Eretz Yisrael. That's how close they were. I was with the Tauba the whole week after the Levi and the whatever, I was driving around, I said, what company was. Incredible how close they were. And yet they agreed on almost everything. But the one thing they agreed on was is that the Jew and the Kosbocha to somehow get together with them. The fairest problem in the world. In the Torah world about the Kosh Baruch Hu and his relationship and Tabo also picked up the following question. He said, if you discovered now that you weren't Jewish, what would you do? So the thinker said to him, I would for sure Magaya on the spot. But before I Magaya, I would do one mitzvah that a Jew can't do today, that a Goy can. And that's bring a Korban. A Jew is not allowed to, once the Beit HaMikdash is built, a Jew is not allowed to bring a Korban outside the Beit HaMikdash. Therefore, we can't bring Kabbalah today. But a Goy is allowed to bring a Korban wherever he is. So he said, I would bring a Korban, and then I would Magaya. The Tabitha said to him, keep your Kabbalah. I wouldn't be a Goy for 1 second, not even for a Korban. But Magaya on the spot. And he explained the difference. The thing that grew up in America, in a Beit HaMikdash, in a home of, I mean, it's not normal what a home was brought up in. His mother was learned by Rebbe Tashmir and came back to Americans, worked at Yaakov School, and his father was a tzaddik, a sadoinam, and he grew up in that home, and yeshivas, and chedorim, and the best Torah education. And the Tauba was running around hiding from the Moses in bunkers, and he seemed chafed and pretending to be a goy. So he said, I know what the goy is. So he comes at it from that perspective, which is the way he's supposed to. And the thinker came at it from his Beit HaMikdash perspective, and you put the two together, you have an enormous, you have a powerful process to go from real to ideal. You've got to work out what works for you. But that's for yourself. You see the verse of the Yom Speak. Reinamus, godless, elevation, transcendence, that's all he speaks about. How people? Is that just the influence that they got? The thinker told me once, first, he was 7 years old. If I'm wrong, he was nine. I think he was seven, but it might have been he was nine, so you'll excuse me for the. I don't think it changes the story that much. And his father was going to shul, like Shwiss, to learn to the last. And the prince wanted to go with. And he begged his father, said, no, he's not old enough. Woof, off he went. The father's sitting in shul, and he's learning. He's telling his himself, no, what's so bad if you'll come? He's sort of thinking, no, what's the end of the world? I'll go home, I'll wake him up, I'll change him, and I'll bring him to shul for a while. So he goes home, and he opens the door, and there's the prince standing in the front door, dressed, ready to go. What's going on here? He says, I haven't to Hashem that you would come back to fetch me, take me to shul. And I knew you would come, so I'm waiting. 7 years old. When the child was 7 years old, he was hiding under blankets and sitting on top of his father while his father was sitting on the kitty, lying under the bed, and he was sitting on top of him, and the noises came in.
And
a child
also looked.
Not saying, no, I'm not saying Hashem, the child was brought up in a chilon. The child was brought up in other circumstances. His father was sitting on the kitty while the Gestapo were in the room. The Tauba saw his uncle being beaten to death by the Gestapo, and he had a smile on his face. And he asked his father, what's Zayda? If it was his uncle or his Zayda, smiling for him. He said, what do you mean? He's been waiting his whole life to give up his life for Kiddush Hashem. He shouldn't be happy. Now that the opportunity finally came. I mean, we don't know what you're talking about here. I can't speak about this because I don't know what it means. But you know, the Tauba talking about it. He was there. He was watching his uncle or his Zayda, smiling at him while he was being beaten to death by the Gestapo. And we don't know what that means. No, but I'm just saying the concept of coming from, that's why you'll often find, I'm often asked this question, how can you see they have such two, you know, the Tauba speaks so much about the Goyish kind of doubt, the Pinkus speaks about as well. The Pinkus grew up in America. America's riddled with Gashmis and Goyish Katan and incorrect desires for what a person should be striving for. Obviously, I'm not saying you wasn't affected by it. And he speaks about it plenty. He once spoke about it, the famous Shiri got about it. If it wasn't for the Avodah Zarah of dancing, the Merit would have eaten itself out of existence. He went on to describe what a killish in New York looks like. Until he stepped into America and showed me what a killish looked like. I mean, that was impressive, man. I've never seen so much meat at 9 o'clock in the morning. I'm from South Africa. What a killish, man. And I was in that toilet. Okay, so the place to toilet at 9 o'clock in the morning. There was 8 different types of meat there. Dude, whatever that is.